morning. If you're glad you're here today, say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together in Matthew chapter number 1 today. We're going to look down at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. By the way, pray for one another right now. And man, the cold stuff is going around. And we've got so many people that are on Theraflu and all that stuff this morning. Amen. But we're here. All right. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the Bible says this. Watch this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So, verse 18, they were engaged. They were not yet married. And that day, they would be engaged for about a year. But once you got engaged, you were considered married to the point that if you broke off the engagement, you had to have the bill of divorcement to be away from that person you were engaged to. But I want you to think just a moment, guys. If when you were engaged, you knew your wife and you had been pure, you had not been immoral sexually together, and your engaged fiance came to you and said, "Hey, I know we have not been immoral, but you need to know that I'm pregnant." Now I want to tell you, whatever just went through your mind, that is what floored Joseph. Here's the woman that he's engaged to, is going to be married to, and she comes to him and says, "Joseph, I'm pregnant." Now look at verse 19. The Bible says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things," he went to bed praying about it, "behold, the angel of the Lord," most believe that was Gabriel, God's personal messenger, "the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now, a little debate here, but God came to him, and the angel said, "Hey, don't you be afraid to marry this woman. She is pregnant. She's not lying to you. She's telling you the truth. But the daddy of that baby is the Holy Spirit of God. It is not a man. She's not been cheating on you. She's not been unfaithful to you. And I'm telling you, I want you to look at what Joseph does in verse 21. The Bible says, "This man, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." That is our spiritual standing with God. Then verse 24, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." Hey, no questions. I cannot believe he did that. No questions. God, whatever you said, that's it. He woke up, he went and took the woman, "We're going to still be married." And the rest of the story comes true, verse 25, "And knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name," say it with me. Let's pray. Father, will you help us today, Lord Jesus? This morning, will you help us to realize today the change that Jesus Christ makes in our life. And today, Lord, there is no such thing today as classification of Christians. There's no big Christians and little Christians and important Christians and more important Christians. God, today the reality is we're either in Christ or we're out of Christ. We are either in the one that can change our lives or we're out of the one that can change our lives. We either can be a godly father or we can't be a godly father. We either can be a good husband or we can't be a good husband. And Lord, there is no middle ground today. We are either in the righteousness of Christ or we're out of it today. And may we learn today from the life of Joseph how we can be in the righteousness of Christ. God, help us today. We need you this morning. We pray in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. I want you to think just for a moment, and I'm not trying to get us to be like God, but I want you to understand the concept of what's going on in Matthew chapter 1. You knew from heaven, and you looked down, and you knew that Mary would be the mother of God's Son. You knew your seed would come on that earth, and Jesus Christ would be born into the earth. And over all the earth, you had millions of people that you were looking at, and you had to pick out the man that would raise your son. If you were God, he looked over all the world and said, "Hey, I've got to have a man that is going to be the earthly father to my son, Jesus Christ, when he comes on the scene." And as God looked down, he said, "You know what?" He looked over all the earth, and he said, "Hey, I need somebody to raise my son. I need somebody to be a daddy to my son on the earth when he know why? This is why. Because he was a just man. He was a righteous man. It wasn't him. It was God in him. And he was filled with passion. He was a passionate man. And understand, this is what Christ does for us. He makes us passionate. Number one, we learn the importance of passion. But number two, this morning we learn the importance. Please, men, don't get up and think on this. But the importance of patience. I want you to look at verse 20 with me. Look at this. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want you to think this morning, just picture yourself in Joseph's position. That Joseph had two options. He could have her stoned, he could have her privately put away. But here's the question that we ask this morning. Why didn't he do it instantly? I want you to think. Because he wasn't sure of what God wanted him to do. And that's why the Bible says in verse 20, when he went to sleep, he was praying, now God, this don't make sense to me. You got to help me understand what's going on. And the Bible says, while he was sleeping, while he was waiting, that God looked over one of his messengers, his angels, and said, I want you to go down there and get with Joseph, and you tell him that it is okay for him to marry Mary because the child in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost, and that she is bringing forth the Messiah into the world. So why did God send that message? This is why. Because Joseph was being patient. He was waiting on God to lead him in his life. And you know, one of the things that we struggle with as Christians is this thing of patience. You know why? This is why. Because we like to do what we want, when we want it, the way we want it. And we don't like waiting on God to do what he does. But you know what? You know what patience is? Patience is waiting on God to let you know what to do. It is waiting on God to let you know what he wants you to do. There's three times in the Bible, as a matter of fact, that this particular, four times, really, if you put them together, that this particular angel was sent from God down the earth. One was in the book of Daniel. You listen? When Daniel was praying, God showed me what to do. Another one was in Zechariah. John the Baptist, his folks, when they were in the temple, he was praying, God, show us what to do. Another was Mary and Joseph when they were praying, God, show us what to do. And hey, all times when they were patiently waiting on God, God came to them and said, this is what you need to do. And I want to say this morning, Joseph's life teaches us as a Christian that sometimes when we don't know what to do, we have to act in patience and we have to wait on God. Can you imagine if Joseph would have done that? Think about it. I don't know what time Mary came to him and said, hey, I'm praying. I don't know if it was in the morning. I don't know if it was in the noontime. I don't know if it was at nighttime, but I do know this. After Joseph had learned about it, after he had considered his options, then he went and prayed for God to lead him and guide him. You know why? Because Joseph was a patient man. What if Joseph would have acted hastily? He made a mess. He made a mess. But you know why God chose Joseph? Because he knew this man is a just man. He's a righteous man. Not only will he be passionate towards Mary, not only you think about the Christmas story. You mean to tell me, Joseph, that your fiance is pregnant? She said she had cheated on you, and you're still going to trust her? Yes. Why? Because he was passionate. He was a man filled with the love of God in his life. But not only that, he was patient. God, you almost can see God in heaven saying, now, Gabriel, you give him some time. Give him a little bit. Hey, listen, he just got hit with a 2x4 upside down. Give him some time to realize that he needs my guidance. And when he said, God, I need you, he sent a messenger down. But hey, patience this morning is one of the challenges that we learn from Joseph's life. But I want to finish this. shall bring you forth. Say the next two words. Look at Asa. See that? Asa. Not Morrison. Asa. I want you to look at me this morning. As a Christian, the difference of being a Christian parent and a worldly parent is this. My kids, they're not my kids. They're his kids. That he has allowed me to be their dad. Don't miss this. The messenger, the angel said, Joseph, she will have a son. And yet you'll be his earthly father. You will get to name him. You'll call him Jesus. By the way, Joseph, just to make sure you ain't confused, this is not your son. I'm even going to tell you his name. But you know what? Joseph had the dawning on him. This is not my son. This is his son. And he is trusting me to raise him. And Joseph, understand this morning, Joseph was given the divine task of being the father to the Son of God. He was given the divine task to be the one that would lead Jesus and teach Jesus. Luke chapter 2 verse 52 says this, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. What does that mean? Here's what it means. Understand this, from a young age, Jesus had to be taught how to do things. You know, some people say Jesus was naturally. My friend, Jesus had to be potty trained. He had to be learned how to walk. He had to learn how to tie sandals. He had to learn how to measure wood. He had to learn how to cut timber. He had to learn how to cook. He had to learn how to do these things. Why? Because Jesus was a man, but he increased in wisdom and in stature. And who was it that taught Jesus how to be a passionate man? Who was it that taught Jesus how to be a leader? Who was it that taught Jesus to stand up and to take the lead and do what God wants you to do in your life? I tell you who it was. It was his daddy on earth. It was Joseph that was his leader. It was Joseph that was his example. And hey, parents, this morning, we have been given a commission by Almighty God to raise his kids for his glory, for his will, and not our own. Now, somebody say amen. Sometimes here's what we do as parents. We try to relive our lives through our kids. Has it ever dawned on us that our kids are not belonging to us and our will may be different than God's, and we are to teach them to follow God, to put God first, and to do God's will in this world? Somebody say amen. Amen. What does that mean? Here's what it means. I'm going to be an example of Jesus to my children as a parent. Mama, you're to be an example to those kids of godliness. What do you mean, Virgil? Here's what I mean. If you're going to be the Christian God wants you to be in your life, if you don't want them doing it, then you should not do it. Don't tell them you need to be faithful to God and you ain't faithful to God. Don't tell them they need to talk right and you don't talk right. Don't tell them they don't need to be drinking and you drink. Don't tell them they don't need to be looking at nasty stuff on the internet and you looking at nasty stuff on the internet. We're to be an example of godliness before our children. And Joseph, why was he the one that God came to? Why did God choose him? Because he was an example to Jesus of godliness in his life. Somebody say amen. Now stay with me, stay with me. We're to be an example of godliness. We're to teach them. We're to teach them. I read an article a couple weeks ago, and it was on, I think, Fox News. So, and I can't tell you if this article is 100% accurate, but I want to tell you this. It said that 70% of the kids that are in prison grew up in a home without a parent. 70% of the kids in prison grew up in a home without a daddy. And I want to say this morning. That's our job. We're to be the father, the leader of the home. Say, Brother Joy, that's big. Listen, I'm not being big this morning. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. And God designed that a man in the home be the leader and the example. And I want to tell you this. It wasn't Eve that woke Adam up and said, Adam, let's get to church. My friend Adam was the leader. He was the one that God created first and said, Adam, all this is up to you. And we looked at that in Sunday school this morning. And the reason Eve was deceived is because Adam would not do what God called him to do. Eve was deceived. She thought she was doing right. Adam knew say with me, you're still breathing, say amen. But my cups and my breeches don't fall, amen. This right here is still in the book. Notice I hadn't mentioned it yet because I want to go to prison, all right? Still in the book. See, Brother Joey? I ain't going to whoop my kids. I'm going to count to one, two, two and a half, two and three quarter. Almost three. I'll give you a chance. Where are we, Dad? Son, what'd your mom just tell you to do? Why didn't you do it? You go on up in your room. I'll be there with you. Amen. No, kid, he's not in here. Don't tell him this. One day I told him to go up to the room and pick out which building he wanted. Ronnie, he went and got his baseball boot. And he's smarter than he looks. When they're pulled up, sure he had like three pair of pants on. I'm being unkind, guys. I ain't talking about hitting your kids and punching them and knocking them. I ain't talking about that. Was it ever occurred to you the one place the Bible says you spare the rod, you spoil the child? If thou, let me use the King James Bible word, beatest them. It's not talking about laying down the blood flying anywhere. If you discipline them, the Bible says it won't kill them. But let me throw this at you. The Bible also says, if we do not discipline, if you weren't here for point one, you're going to not understand what I'm saying for point three. If we do not do with the discipline and the love of God in our homes, then the Bible says we do not really love our kids. But that's not what Dr. Phil said. Well, Dr. Phil don't get paid to send people to heaven.
Amen.
Don't tell you. The Bible teaches that we are to be people that discipline our children. Why? This is why. To teach them to fear God. I did wrong, there's a consequence. If you do wrong, there's a consequence. But to my 3-year-old, I just can't bring myself to spank him. Is it ever here? I'm trying to be appropriate. There's more padding back here than anywhere else on the body.
Amen.
And watch this. It's stable padding. What does that mean? It can endure a spanking, a switching, a whooping, whatever you like to call it. It can endure it. You know why? Because when we discipline our kids, when we tell them what they did wrong, when we discipline them, and we come pray with them, and we teach them what God wants them to do, we have taught them that there is someone up there that is above them. His name is God, and you're accountable to Him. And when He tells you not to do something, you better not do it. But do you understand that as parents, if we do not do that, then our children will never understand that there is a will of God and there is a will of man in this world. Somebody say amen. Can y'all help me praise the Lord this morning? Amen. Say, Brother Joey, I can't be all that. You don't know who I am. I can't be passionate. From the oldest time I can remember, the only memories that I have of my dad was him punching me down the steps. Listen to me, sir. You can be good. How do you know? Now watch this. Since we're preaching the Bible, let's just end with the Bible, can we? Let's don't go to Time Magazine. Let's just go to the Bible. I want you to take your Bible. We're in Matthew, okay? I want you to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. I want you to go over 6 books to the book of Romans, okay? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. I want you to see this. The Bible says that Joseph was a just man. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. What does that mean? Now watch this. Romans chapter
gospel today to your people. And Lord, I pray for us as Christians this morning. There's a man in this room today. God, you need to work. You need to work in us. Some of us are struggling with this thing of being passionate at home and loving our wives and leading our family and our children. God, we need your help today. We need